Now, friends, we come today to the epistle to the Romans proper. And now we are in this section where we are looking at the introduction to this marvelous epistle. And we'll find out that even the introduction or the salutation, as some like to speak of it here, but we have here in the introduction the first 17 verses. And that's divided like this. We have Paul's personal greeting in the first 7 verses. Then we have Paul's personal purpose in verses 8 through 13, and then Paul's 3 I Ams, 14 through 17. Now, as we come here to verse 1, we hope you'll follow us rather carefully as we go through this epistle. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, you'll notice, first of all, that the little verb to be is in italics, which means it's not in the manuscripts. It's not in the original. And it should be Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle and separated under the gospel of God. Now, Paul identifies himself here in this epistle as a servant, and the word is doulos, and it means a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now, he is here an apostle, but first of all, he calls himself a servant. Now, that's very important to see. It's important to see for the very simple reason that he took this place willingly. The Lord Jesus Christ, friends, he's loved us, and he's given himself for us. But the very interesting thing is that he never makes you his slave at all. You have to do that voluntarily, come to him, and make yourself a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something that is wonderful beyond measure. When he saves you, why, he won't force you actually to serve him. If you'll notice that he said even to Jerusalem, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you," just like a mother hen gathers her little chicks under her wings, "but you would not." And the Lord Jesus said on one occasion, you remember, he says, "You'll not come to me that you might have life." He won't force you. You have to do this on your own. You have to come to him, but you have the privilege of making yourself a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now, you'll recall that when Paul was saved, the thing that was said to him on the Damascus Road, first of all, he asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." He came to know him as his Savior. And then his question was, "What will you have me to do?" That is the one. And that is the time he made himself a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that is quite wonderful, by the way. Now, will you notice that he also says here that he's not only a servant of Jesus Christ, but he is an apostle. And he's a called apostle. It doesn't mean he was called to be an apostle. It means this is the kind of an apostle that he was, that the Lord Jesus had called him to be an apostle, and he was called into that office. He didn't choose it. The Lord Jesus told him that he was to be his witness. And this man now, first of all, made himself a servant, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, but now he is a called apostle. And that's the only kind of a servant God's going to use, by the way, one that he has chosen. There are too many men, I'm afraid, actually in the ministry today, that God didn't call them at all. Paul could say, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." And you remember Jeremiah. He was called even as a little child. But he could say to the false prophets, and God said to them, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." He was a called apostle. Now, an apostle is one who had seen the resurrected Christ. Paul had seen him. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that he had appeared to him as one born out of due season. But also there was another mark of an apostle of that day, and that was an apostle had what we call the sign gifts. Paul said that he could speak in tongues. Now, I believe that when he went through that Galatian country and came over into the area along the Aegean Sea, where there were so many Greek cities, so many tribes, so many peoples, that he was unable to speak the language of each tribe as he came among them. He spoke in tongues. He was an apostle. And then he had the gift of healing, a gift that we do not believe is in existence today. God heals today directly. I tell folk I took my case directly to the great physician. I didn't take it to one of the interns. I took it to the great physician. And I think that today God heals. But he doesn't give that gift today to man. But Paul had that gift. And he not only had the gift of healing, he could raise the dead. And that was the mark of an apostle. Peter raised the dead. Paul raised the dead, you see. Now, Paul is a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He's a called apostle. And now the third thing that is said here, he's separated under the gospel of God. And I want you to notice this, because this is a remarkable thing. He was separated unto, and not separated from something, but separated unto the gospel of God. And it's God's gospel because he originated. The gospel, you see, is something God thought of. I didn't think of it. Man didn't think of it. The Lord didn't say 1,900 years ago, well, I know it's the fullness of time, and it's time for Jesus to come into the world, but maybe Vernon McGee won't like it. Maybe he's got a better program, and we'll wait till he gets here. He didn't do that at all. I got here, and the gospel had been in existence 1,900 years, and it's God's gospel. And he said that to me, he says, you take it or leave it. And by the way, he's saying that to you. You take it or leave it. He originated the gospel. But Paul says he's separated unto the gospel. Not separated from something, but separated unto. And this is a very marvelous word, by the way. Separated unto. And there are several words that almost have an opposite meaning. For instance, you take the word cleave. A thing can cleave to something, or you can cleave a thing asunder. It actually can mean one time to join together, and another time it can mean to separate. Now, the word separated. We hear so much today about this matter of separation. Well, Paul was a separated Christian, but he is separated to something, not from something. And I'm afraid that we've got a great many Christians that are separated from something. In fact, when I hear some talk, I have an idea they're doing a spiritual striptease. They say, I've taken this off, I don't do this, I don't do that. Well, my friend, what are you separated unto? Not what you're separated from. And the important thing is to be separated unto something. Now, Paul said about the Thessalonians, how they turned to God from idols. They didn't get up in a testimony meeting and say, oh, I don't go to the temple of Apollo anymore. They didn't need to say that. They were separated unto the Lord Jesus. And when they're separated unto him, why, you don't need to be separated from something. I hear people today say, should a Christian be separated from something? And they mention something. And I think there's so many barren lives, they get separated from something, and they're joyless, and they become very critical, and some even very cynical. My friend, you're to be separated unto Christ. Now, when you're separated unto Christ, then the separation from takes place. A man gets married. I have in my marriage ceremony. Do you promise to love and to keep yourself under her or under him and no one else? And that's separation. separated under one person. That's what marriage is. Well, imagine a fella getting married, and the first night of his honeymoon, he says to his new bride, he says, I got a girlfriend in this town. I think I'll call her up and go over to see her. And there are a lot of Christians that's the kind of separation they have, you see. It's a separation from something, but not under something. And if you're separated under the Lord Jesus, then, my friend, you're not going to worry about this separated from something. And the very interesting thing is, it means that you've got a life that appeals, not one that turns people off. A lot of people turn the unsaved off by their lives. There was a little Chinese girl once said, you know, says Christians are salt. Salt makes you thirsty. That's one to think over, friends. By the way, are you and I making anybody thirsty for Christ? He's the water of life. Do we make them thirsty? And by the way, this word separated is a very interesting word. In my notes, I talk about this word, for it occurs again a little later on, but it's the same word we get our word horizon from. And it's aphorizo, and it means it would be off or from horizon. I always, in taking a plane trip, have noticed something, that when the plane takes off, it brings you up to places where the horizon gets enlarged. I remember that taking off in Athens. And when we took off, you couldn't see anything. I tried to see the Acropolis. I tried to see the ocean. I couldn't see a thing. We hadn't gone very far. You could see the ocean. You could see the Acropolis, you could see the islands, you could see the mountains. You could see it all when you get up there. The higher we went, the wider the horizon got. And how wonderful it is to be separated unto Christ, because he brings you to the place where your horizons are enlarged and you're given a new life in Christ Jesus. And how wonderful that new life is. It brings you to a new place, an appreciation of life. This is what I mean. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I acted as a child. When I came a man, I put away childish things. Now, there was a time when I can recall as a boy that I used to play house, because there were a bunch of girls in the neighborhood. And there are only a couple of us boys. And so in order to play, we played house. Well, there came a day, friends, when I outgrew that stuff. And I went out and played baseball. And the girls would say, let's play house. And I said, no, I'm playing first base on the team. I'm not interested in that. A new horizon. And then there came a day when I not only not interested in playing baseball, I can't play baseball. But the thing is that I'm interested in something else. Horizons have widened out. And if you come to Christ, you're separated unto him. Separation doesn't mean you're drawn in and you become little and narrow. Why, it means, friends, that your life has broadened out. And today there's so many wonderful things that you can do as a child of God. And you can have an appreciation of things today. May I say to you, that it's thrilling to live today. What a glorious, wonderful thing it is. Now, he says here, he's separated under the gospel of God. And this is a wonderful verse.